Max, we're down to just one meal now that it was too cold to catch anything. A jar of spaghetti sauce he'd found the last time he broke into an abandoned house in Western Arlington. There was no delaying it any longer. Ori would have to go into the city again to scavenge for food. Go or starve. On the way back in, he saw it, frozen mid-step in the weeds a few feet from the tree line. A deer. Its huge dark pupils gleamed as they stared warily back, calculating. It should have dropped its antlers for the coming winter already, but they were still there, perched between its pricked ears. We're saved, Ori thought. He raised the double-barrel Remington in silence and aimed. Then he saw. White steam billowed around its muzzle. The obsidian eyes blinked. It had seemed like a deer, but now he could see that it was not. Almost, but not quite. Where its bony, branch-like antlers should have been, instead a pair of small brown wings sprouted from its forehead, mottled feathers spread in the same way horns might curve. Max. Ori made for the shelter at a sprint. Inside, he scrambled to lock all the locks and reprop the wood plank at an angle under the doorknob as fast as he could. Max was still asleep when he had left her, snoring lightly on her stomach, hair in her face. Ori went straight to the bedroom, straight to her. Blue, he said as soon as her drowsy, dream-heavy eyes fluttered open and met his own. He waited, breathless for her to speak. It was their test, their way of telling whether or not she still knew who he was.
52,
she whispered back. They met at a football game. Orlando Jong. Later, he stood in the bathroom, sharpening his knife. It made more sense not to shave. Cover against the cold, camouflage for how thin he'd become, thus how little of a threat his starved body might be. But the act was hard to give up. There were so few things left he could still do that reminded him of the rest. Electricity, cell phones, a desk job. Ori watched his arm glide past his face in the mirror, at how it blocked the light and cast the dark shape of itself back against his cheekbones, his chest. Still there, he said to himself. He closed his eyes for a moment and waited for the hammering of his heart to slow. Still there. 2 years ago, when the forgetting first reached the United States, he and Max saw its effects. They had watched a shadowless man speaking perfect English walk straight into a fire, not remembering what it was. Heard children with no silhouettes ask flowers where the nearest water flowed, as if the flowers could understand, but then inexplicably were able to head directly to it. Once, a woman missing her dark twin named all the coins of their currency, but when she opened her hands, the metal pieces were in shapes they had never seen, engraved with designs of no country. Why had it turned out to be that shadows were the parts of bodies where memories were stored? Why did it happen to some and not others? Once it finally did happen, why did some people forget things after 2 weeks, and some hang on much longer? And when they finally did forget, why did the earth itself seem to forget too? The image of the strange creature in the woods outside came to him again. Why, when a shadowless forgot that deer didn't have wings on their heads, did it become true? Those kinds of thoughts he didn't talk about with Max. Not anymore. Not since she had lost her own shadow 7 days ago.
Mr. Clean Cut,
Max said when she poked her head into the bathroom. Her loose bronze afro floated in the air above her head, living a life of its own. He loved that hair. It was as